you need a hand, I have one for you right here.
Thank you.
morning, church.
Morning.
Welcome to worship here at Germantown Presbyterian Church. Whether you are here in the sanctuary with us or you are with us in spirit and worshiping online, we welcome you to this time of worship to Almighty God. If you are a visitor with us, we invite you to pick up a bright yellow visitor bag in the narthex. Just ask one of the ushers and they will be happy to give you one. We want you to know who we are at Germantown Presbyterian Church, and we want you to know more about us. Also, if you would fill out the friendship pad that is there in the pew, and if you're worshiping online, then you can find the visitor pad that is online through our website, and we invite you to put your attendance there as well. I have a few announcements for us. One is that at the end of June, we had a very wonderful congregational brunch and breakfast. First one we had since 2019 that we had been able to gather together and have a congregational meal. And so we're going to have another one. This is coming from the Congregational Life Committee. We very much appreciate their hard work. This one is going to be a lunch. And it will be a potluck lunch, and it will be in the Activity Center at 12 noon on July the 31st. So please save the date, mark your calendars, plan to have lunch here, and to bring your favorite dishes for everyone to enjoy. Our youth left yesterday on a mission trip in the Mobile area, and so I invite you to keep the youth in your prayers and their sponsors. We invite you to pray on the nines at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. for all of those that are doing mission in the Mobile area this week. And you should find prayer cards in the narthex on the table with all of their names in them. I want to welcome Dr. John Johnson to our worship. He's going to participate in worship, and I'm honored to do worship and ministry alongside Dr. Johnson, so we welcome him into our midst this morning. I also want to introduce, if you're here, those who joined the church this morning at 9:30. We had three couples who joined, so I'm going to invite you to stand when I call your name and just let our congregation see who you are. So we had Ruth and Scott Newberry. They're way up here. Okay. Beth and Bert Seaton. Beth and Bert are right over here. And Betty and Michael Nelson. Are the Nelsons here? Okay. They came to 8:30. Okay. And so for the Newberries and the Seatons, if y'all want to kind of make your way down maybe to here, if you're comfortable doing that, and if you're not, that's okay too, but during the last hymn, and then after worship, people can greet you. But if you're not comfortable doing that, that's okay too. So we just welcome the Newberries, the Seatons, and the Nelsons into the family of GPC. So we're so glad that you're here. So let's give them a round of applause. I invite everyone to come back at 6 o'clock and worship with us again in the fellowship hall for our evening worship service. Wonderful opportunity for music that Dr. Johnson leads us in. And so I welcome everyone to come back to evening worship. The flowers on the chancel today are so lovely, and we're so grateful to Violet Olson for the giving of these flowers to the glory of God and in memory of her husband, Paul, her loving memory of Paul. So thank you, Vi, for these beautiful flowers. And I think those are all of our announcements. So I invite us in this space, in this moment, just to take a deep breath, to still our souls, and to prepare ourselves for the worship of Almighty God.
Thank you. Please stand as you are able and join in the call to worship. As we come into your presence to worship and glorify your holy name, O God, create in us clean hearts. May your love and mercy be upon us. May your joy and gladness dawn in our spirits. May the recreating power of your Spirit transform us and make us new. Come, Holy Spirit, come, and let us worship the Lord our God together in this place. The Lord is near. The Lord promises to hear our prayers and respond. Let us then come with confidence before the Lord our God, confessing our sins to Almighty God and to one another. Let us pray. Gracious God, you continually provide us with opportunities to be transformed by your love, and to then extend your love through generous hospitality. But we hold your love at bay when we fail to greet the stranger and reach out to those with whom we disagree. We know that we may first be reconciled within our own selves before you can use us to reconcile the world back to you. Forgive us, we pray. Come near to us, heal and transform us so that we may be for you love to all the world. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the one who transforms us and reconciles us back to God, I declare to you that you are forgiven and freed to love and serve the Lord our God in all the world.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son.
The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. As our children come forward, I invite you to greet your neighbors with the peace of Christ.
Good morning. How are you today? Good. So can you pat your head for me? Okay. Can you rub your stomach for me? Ooh, good. Can you stomp your feet for me? Whoa. Can you do all three at once? Can you pat your head, rub your stomach, and stomp your feet? Is that kind of hard to do? Yeah, and it's hard to be still, isn't it? So let's look at today's story. It comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. We see something similar in today's scripture. We're talking about two sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary is sitting there and being still, listening to Jesus. But Martha is busy taking care of everything around the house and trying to get the food ready. Martha gets annoyed with her sister Mary because Martha is doing all the work while she feels like Mary is not helping at all. She even asks Jesus to tell Mary to get busy helping. Jesus tells Martha to do what Mary is doing, to be still and to listen to what Jesus is saying. What Jesus tells Martha is a good reminder for us all that we don't have to try to do everything on our own. Instead, there are times that we are to be still and listen to Jesus' words and through God's prayer. And that's the good news for today. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for Jesus, who reminds us to be still and to follow his ways. Amen.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Almighty God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you've gathered us into this space to worship and glorify your holy name. Now, as we prepare ourselves to hear your word read and proclaimed, still our hearts, our minds, and our souls, so that we might truly hear and absorb your word to us and then become more than merely hearers, but truly doers of your word in all the world. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is Amos chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, and also verses 11 and 12. This is what the Sovereign Lord showed me, a basket of ripe fruit. "What do you see, Amos?" he asked. "A basket of ripe fruit," I answered. Then the Lord said to me, "The time is ripe for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. In that day, declares the Sovereign Lord, the songs in the temple will turn to wailing, many, many bodies flung everywhere. Silence. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat?' Skipping the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The days are coming, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or of thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." This is the reading of the Lord and the word of the Lord.
Our second reading this morning comes from the letter to the church at Colossae. Chapter 1, starting at verse 15, let us hear God's word to us again. "Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through Christ and for him. Christ himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Christ is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile himself, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, Christ is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a minister of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. That is the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of his glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Last Monday morning, as I began to take a deep dive into these passages, particularly the letter to the church at Colossae, to hear God's word for you for this day, I found myself distracted. Distracted by pieces of God's good creation. Flowers. Specifically, lantana. And here's why. Last May, I created a little flower bed in front of my home, and I planted lantana for the first time. I hadn't had any before, and I didn't know much about lantana. I'd seen it all over town. It's so pretty with its little yellow and orange flowers. And I had read, or maybe seen on YouTube, that lantana does well in the hot summer sun. It does well in drought, and that's what I needed because my home faces west. And goodness knows we've got some hot afternoons here. But last summer, I prepared the soil. I added some compost and some fresh soil before I planted the lantana. And so the soil was ready to receive the lantana, and it was really happy there. It just grew like crazy, and it grew wide and tall and thick, and it lasted and lasted all the way to December. So I knew I wanted lantana again this summer. But then May came and went. June came and went. I hadn't even bought any lantana, much less gotten any in the ground. But last Sunday afternoon, in between worships, I went and bought some lantana, and they were some really nice, about this size, pots, and I put them out on my back patio. So Monday morning, before I sat down to work, I first went out front, just kind of walked around with my cup of tea, and I realized in that moment that that was probably the coolest moment of the week that I was going to have. But still, I went back in, sat down at my kitchen table, got everything out, all the commentaries and things that I needed. But I could see on my back patio those lantana looking at me like a wide-eyed puppy ready to go for a walk. And I couldn't do anything. And so I looked at the lantana and went, okay, let's go get you in the ground. So I went out front where they were going to be planted, and I started to dig. But the ground was hard and dry. And then the Holy Spirit showed up. God got to work, not in that dirt. It was still hard and dry, but in me. As I started digging in that dirt, God reminded me that God wants to transform even us from dry, hard dirt into something beautiful that God will then use to further God's mission in Christ's ministry and transform the world into God's beloved community where kinfolk live with one another and care for one another and live in harmony in God's beautiful garden. God calls us all to be gardeners, very good stewards of all that God created, the sky and the earth and the sea creatures and all of the land animals and every person, for every person has been made in God's holy image. The Latin is Imago Dei. Made in God's holy image, every person, and God has called us to be stewards for everything and every person that God has created. But first, God is the gardener. God is the creator of all things and has pronounced all things and all people good. And when we humans aren't caring for all that God has created, including people that we differ from in myriad ways, then God comes to tend to God's creation so that it will be transformed into what God needs it to be to further the love that God has for all people and all things and to reconcile the world back to God, because God is always about reconciliation back to God. We hear this from the prophet Micah. Now, Micah was a contemporary of Amos's, both speaking to the people in the 8th century before the birth of Jesus. Micah said this, "The Lord has shown you, O mortals, what good is." And to paraphrase, good is being reconciled to God. And then he goes on to share how we can be reconciled to God. He says, "What then does the Lord require of you but to seek justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God?" The prophet Amos is speaking similarly to Micah in this passage that we just heard, except Amos is telling the people how the cow ate the cabbage. He isn't holding back one single iota. He says, "Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring ruin to the poor, you who buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, this is what is about to happen to you. That basket of ripe fruit is about the end of the season. It's about the end of the people. It's about ever hearing the word of God again. The people were like hardened soil with sticks and dirt and rocks. They were in the way of God's goodness, mercy, and love from reaching all the people. They were stumbling blocks for God. We can be like them. We can be like hard soil with rocks and sticks. We can become stumbling blocks for the sharing of the gospel message, Christ's love for all the world. Whenever we fail to love one another as we have been loved and as we love ourselves, that's when the gospel message is stymied from spreading far and wide like lantana. God wants to prepare us to be good and fertile soil for God's goodness and the spread of the gospel message. God desires that we no longer be estranged or hold hostile thoughts against anyone, no matter our differences, whether it be in ideology or theology or political stances or ethnicity or sexual identity or gender identity or anything else that makes us who we are. Remember, Imago Dei, made in God's holy image. God desires a complete about face from us. Perhaps you heard in verse 22 the why of transformation and reconciliation to God. It's so that one day when our earthly life is ended, and it will, we can be presented holy and blameless and irreproachable before Christ our Lord. And like with any relationship, this one happens to be with Almighty God, but it requires our conscious daily effort and attention. And it only happens, as we hear in verse 23, provided that we continue securely established in the faith without shifting from the promised hope by the gospel that we have heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Every creature. Not just those who look like us or walk like us or talk like us or think like us or dress like us. Every creature under heaven. Remember Paul's words to the church at Galatia. "There is no longer Jew or Greek, servant or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And Paul's writing to the church at Rome, "Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. And who then will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul writes, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, it's not about us or our desires, and it's simply not our place to judge anyone. That is God in Christ Jesus' role, thank goodness. Because of this truth, we are then set free to love and embrace one another, and most importantly, those that we differ from and those from whom we might be estranged. But this isn't us, right? We don't feel estranged from Christ our Lord. We certainly don't hold hostile thoughts against anyone. This passage must be for others, those that are different from us. Theologian Peter Rollins claimed this for himself. He said, "I deny the resurrection of Christ every time I do not serve at the feet of the oppressed, each day that I turn my back on the poor. I deny the resurrection of Christ when I close my ears to the cries of the downtrodden and lend my support to an unjust and corrupt system." How many of us deny Christ's resurrection? Not through our failure to adhere to our interpretation of Scripture or what we believe our faith is, but through our refusal to live out the call of Jesus so that we might be known by our love. Who are we holding at bay from full acceptance into the love of Jesus? And how do we become, for Christ, fertile earth, ready to receive all that God desires to plant in us so that the gospel of Christ our Lord can be shared with everyone we meet and so that it will then spread wild and free without any obstructions or stumbling blocks? It begins in community. Like this body of Christ that is GPC, as together we study and learn more and more about who Jesus is, the life that he lived, and who he calls us to become. One thing is for certain. We aren't called to stay who we've always been. Let me say that again. We aren't called to stay who we've always been. We understand this as Reformed Christians. We understand that the Holy Spirit of God is always on the move, always moving in and through us, blowing wild and free wherever it chooses, leading and guiding us to new things and new ways of being the people of God. There's another Latin phrase that we understand as Presbyterians, semper reformata, reformed and always being reformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a strong part of who we are as followers of Jesus. God does not call us to stay as we've always been, to become stagnant, dry, or dusty in our faith or in our walk with Jesus. Even the first century followers of Jesus weren't called to stay as they were. Theologian Jennifer Barrison writes this: "This letter to the church at Colossae is about a complete transformation from who they were as followers of Jesus to who God calls them to become. It's a fundamental psychological and moral reorientation of one's life to follow wherever Jesus leads them and to reorient their entire lives around Christ our Lord. They promise to live in harmony and care for everyone, and to worship and give thanks to God in Jesus Christ." God cannot work well in dry and dusty dirt. God needs good and rich soil in which to plant new seeds and new ideas that will blossom and grow. New ways of being the people of God, the church, will not only enliven who we are, excite us to come together and then to go out into the world, but will reconcile us to God, to put aside our differences and to come together knowing that our purpose is to proclaim Christ to all the world through our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our actions. It's going to require that we see everyone as our siblings, even those with whom we might be estranged or that we might even disagree. There's a beautiful South African word that helps us to see what this can look like. Ubuntu speaks plainly to we're all in this thing called life together, or I am because we are. It means that my happiness depends on your happiness. It means that I can't be whole if someone else is still hungry or thirsty or naked or imprisoned or just plain ostracized for feeling left out of being a part of this body of Christ just because of who they are. Paul speaks to this in his letter to the Christians at Corinth. He says, if one part of our body hurts, we hurt all over. Throughout the eons, the people of God have had opportunity after opportunity to stand on the right side of the gospel, to stand with Jesus, and yet have turned away from Jesus by turning our backs on people who differ from us in some way. My siblings, the time will come when we will stand utterly naked before Jesus. Everything will be stripped away with only the lives that we have lived to speak on behalf to Christ our Lord. What will our lives say? Will we have experienced the fundamental moral reorientation of our lives to follow wherever Jesus leads us? Will we as a community of faith, this very body of Christ, reorient our commitment to Christ Jesus to live in harmony and to welcome everyone into our family? Transformation and reconciliation to God is both and. It is inward and it is outward, as individuals and as the body of Christ. If we're still doubtful, let's remember our sibling Paul, once known as Saul. Saul was a self-identified persecutor of those who followed Jesus. They had new ideas of what it meant to be a part of God's family. Saul disagreed. He saw them as outsiders to his faith. He believed his mission was as someone who should go and find these people and put an end to their claims of this man called Jesus being the Son of God. He sought them out to end their lives. And then God got to work in Saul. Saul literally had a coming to Jesus moment on a dry, dusty road. As Saul, his stone heart caused him to inflict pain and suffering on those who heard and believed Jesus' message of forgiveness and mercy and everlasting life for all people. Jesus' message of hospitality and inclusion. Saul's life was as hard and dry as the very road he walked on. Nothing life-giving could grow in Saul until he met Jesus. Saul had a complete and utter transformation and reorientation of his life, and then he was reconciled to God. That's when God began to use even Paul. I'll call him by his new name, for his old name is dead. It is no more. For the Holy Spirit of God began to move in and through Paul in new ways of being that were as radically inclusive and hospitable as Jesus himself. Isn't that who we're called to be too? Because of Paul's transformation and reconciliation to God, Christ's redemptive ministry spread wild and free throughout Asia Minor, and most especially to Gentiles like us. We need to hear new stories of transformation and reconciliation to God. We need to hear stories like Paul's that are filled with hope. We need to know that even our story can be transformed through Christ, and that we too, who were once estranged and hostile in thoughts and words and deeds, can be reconciled through Christ our Lord, so that we too, one day, can be presented holy and blameless and irreproachable before Christ. Think about it. Once we become the soil that is prepared and ready for God's goodness to be planted within, God will take and use us to grow a beautiful garden of love that will then spread far and wide and tall like the lantana. It will be such a beautiful garden that others will see too and will want to come and see and be a part of the wonder that is happening here at GPC. The truth of the matter is this: God is not finished with any of us. Praise be to God. We are all works in progress each and every day, and with each new morning, God blesses us with new ways of being. The prophet Isaiah says it this way: "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old, for I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Do we perceive what God's Holy Spirit is doing all around us and in and through even us? Do we understand that God desires for us to be reoriented, reconciled back to God, that we be transformed into the very people that God intends for us to be, open and inclusive for all people, so that we can be the fulfillment of Christ's ministry on earth? Christ has no other hands and feet, voice and presence in the world but ours. Those on the outside looking in have no one but us to be Christ for them. Those who've been excluded from being a part of this body of Christ to its richest extent are waiting. Waiting for us to fling wide the portals of our hearts and these doors and say, "Welcome, siblings. In Christ, you are already family. Welcome." First, God calls us, and then God equips us with all that we ever need to become the people that calls us to be, those with wide open arms and hearts and minds and souls, just like Jesus. So there I was, digging in the dirt. It was hard and dry and dusty, and God began to speak plainly to me. Yes, it was still hard to dig those holes that I needed, hard to get my lantana planted. But so it is with God trying to work in and through us when we are estranged from God by holding others at arm's length outside the doors or having hostile thoughts against anyone. This is me. Whenever I'm not listening to God, when I want to do things my way, not really wanting to go where Jesus is calling me to go and serve, like simply rolling down my car window and speaking a word of grace or handing a bottle of water or a package of peanut butter crackers to those standing in need on the street corners of Memphis. I can name some of them for you: Jennifer and Matt and Joshua and others. But sometimes I'm not in that right lane, or I keep going straight. When I just drive by, God can't function in those moments. Christ's presence can't be known until I really open my ears and I listen to Christ whispering, saying, "Speak kindly to them. These are your siblings. Remind them they are not alone today." In those hot, sweaty moments on Monday morning, God reminded me that we are all like dry, dusty dirt. And that we are all able to be refreshed, restored, rejuvenated by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that one day we may be mature in Christ. And when our end has come, Christ will know the story our lives are speaking and might just say to us, when I was the one left out, you invited me in. When I was the one hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was the one who was thirsty, you gave me water to drink. Welcome, siblings. In me, you are already family. Welcome. Like Lantana, may God's love grow wild and free and tall and wide here in this place and far, far beyond because of us, by the power of the Holy Spirit moving in and through us. May it be so, and to God be all glory, honor, and praise. Friends, we've been blessed to hear God's word read and proclaimed to us. And so we have an opportunity to respond by affirming our faith together. So I invite you to stand. This morning we're going to use the words from the Confession of 1967. It really speaks well to reconciliation. So I invite us all to proclaim our faith together. We believe that God, the Holy Spirit, fulfills the work of reconciliation. The Holy Spirit creates and renews the church as a community in which we are reconciled to God and one another. We believe that in spite of our sin, the Holy Spirit gives us power to become representatives of Jesus Christ and to proclaim the good news of reconciliation to all. In this experience, the Spirit brings God's forgiveness to us, moves us to respond in faith, repentance, and obedience, and initiates the new life in Christ. We believe that the new life takes shape in a community in which we know that God loves and accepts us in spite of what we are. We therefore accept ourselves and love others, knowing that no one has any ground on which to stand except God's grace. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, GPC. We are going to enter into a time of prayer together as a community of God. And you are quite familiar with how Pastor Susie uses the format of when we say, Lord, have mercy on us. Maybe I didn't do that right here. Yeah, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Want to encourage you to participate with me in that. And also, we'll be giving a time of silence, a time actually for you to be able to speak and to call out names of those that might be on your hearts before the very throne of God, that he might hear and intervene and act in those situations. So we'll do that. I will indicate that time when it comes. Let us pray together. Father, we're so grateful for who you are and for who you have made us to be in you. We're so thankful that you have brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of your dear Son. And you have taken the dark out of us and you've placed light within us. And we now are the people of God. We're called by your name. You've also made us as a company of people a part of the holy priesthood, whereby that we may come before your throne and we may minister to you in praise and song as we have already done, but also in prayer. And Father, we just say thanks for the opportunity for us now to come together and to offer up the needs of others and also of ourselves to you, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for your creation. Even as Pastor Susie talked about that this morning, we're so grateful for all that you have made. You spoke it into existence by the power of your word. We want to thank you that even though it's under the curse, there is still beauty that we behold. But it will be nothing like that when you make a new heaven and a new earth. We look forward to that day, but meanwhile, Lord, we ask that we may be mindful each day to carefully steward and care for it. We pray also for the world and its citizens, and we pray for those who live in loneliness, insecurity, and fear. We pray for those, Lord, especially in the present economic situation, where prices are high and we seem to be getting less and less for the money of which we spend. We pray, Lord, for those that have abundance and those who have very little, that they may come together and share as each one has need. May your Holy Spirit mightily touch us and indwell our souls. Lord, in your mercy. We pray, too, for those that are seeking safe haven and for those that are in the Ukraine, those who have fled their homelands. We cannot even imagine the horrors and the things of which they have experienced. God, we ask that you might draw near to them, comfort them, hold them, protect them. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might lead them to places of safety, shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship. And may we, Lord, be such a place, welcoming all people, refugees and the homeless, and all strangers as Christ's hands of genuine hospitality. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for leaders of all the nations. We pray, Lord, that they will be humble, contrite in their hearts, to seek first your wise counsel before any word or any action that they would take. And Lord, we pray that in so doing that they might lead with peace and justice and compassion and kindness according to your will, O God. And Lord, we especially pray for those leaders that are in Ukraine. Will you give them your wisdom, your guidance? Will you strengthen them and give them courage for each day, Lord, and for Russian leadership? Lord, may you remind them that they are but men that stand before a holy God. May you remind them, and may there be repentance in their hearts. Lord, we ask that you would move by your Spirit, that they would then cease the violence, the oppression, and the destruction by the power of your Holy Spirit and seek forgiveness and only your peace. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we also pray for us here in Memphis, not only here, but in the nation and across the world, especially where there's such a heat wave, and we pray for rain and nourishment that you will send from the heavens. And Lord, not just for the natural rain, we also ask that you might send the spiritual rain, and that as it comes, and it comes to nourish our hearts and our souls, that things that are in us, even as the word came forth this morning, that are yet not blossoming, we pray that there may be a blossoming in our hearts of things that have been a longing and of desires within us. Lord, spring it into life, we ask. May revival come to our hearts and come to the heart of this nation. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we ask for those that are here that may be in GPC, those that are shut in, those that are sick, those that may be recovering, those that are crying out to you even from their beds now. We ask that you would visit them. We thank you again for the power of the Spirit that knows no bounds, the power of your word that knows no limits, that it says that you sent forth your word and you healed them. We ask for healing of those that are shut in, those that are sick and struggling, those in that may be even be struggling from the effects of COVID that continue to pound their bodies. We ask for healing to come to them in your name. You are our healer. You are the restorer of our souls. And we thank you for touching them now. Lord, in your mercy. You may now join me. Any challenge, any person that you may want to lift up to the Lord and before his throne, would you do that now?
Kirsten and Michael and Darby.
Father, even for those prayers that are, they're not said, but even our thoughts are words to you. We thank you for hearing us. We thank you for answering us. And Lord, as we come together now as your body, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
My siblings, we know that all that we have and all that we are gifts to us from Almighty God. And so we have the opportunity now to return to God all that we can through the giving of our tithes and our offerings and our very selves. Let us give with great joy and generosity.
Thank you.
Father, we want to thank you for all that you have given to us, that we then in turn may give back to you. You have first given to us and has given us the empowerment to give cheerfully back to you. You've held nothing, but precious was your Son, and you gave him to us. We now have given back to you. We ask, Lord, that you might use it in whatever way that you see fit, that it may further your kingdom here on earth. Let your kingdom come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Other new members, if you are here, to be down front, people can greet you. My friends, as we go forth into this world this week, I invite us all each and every day to pray to God and to think about how we can be more fertile ground for God's love and how we can help to spread that love far and wide like Lantana. And as we go, may the love of God and the peace of Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God abide with each and every one of us, binding us securely to one another and to Almighty God. And let God's people say, Amen.